afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political news for Monday, August 15th, 2022. Hi, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How you doing today?
Oh, just fantastic. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I really am. It's a beautiful day. I'm kind of enjoying it. It's been a busy day, but I like being busy. It keeps me out of trouble.
Well, keeps you out of trouble?
Yeah,
I don't think there's anything that can keep you out of trouble.
I try so hard, though, to stay out of trouble. I really do.
To stay out of it or to get into it?
I never give anybody a hard time or nothing. You know that.
Oh, nothing at all. No, of course not.
I wouldn't do that at all. I wouldn't pick on you or anything. No.
No, not me.
I'm always serious minded, and you know.
You're a preacher, so no one's going to do that.
Well, glad back with you, Melody. Seriously. I'm glad you're out there.
Yes. And so let's go ahead and get to the metals market today. And, it was brutal. Gold down $24, $1,781. Silver was down 61 pennies today at $20.35. Platinum was down 28 at $944. Palladium was down $56 at $2,240. And the USDX today was stronger, of course, by 0.82 at 106.49. Crude oil was down 3.12 at 88.97. So good news there. And the U.S. paper markets, the Dow was up less than a half a percent, but 151 points at 33,912. S&P was up 16 at 4,297. And the NASDAQ was up 80 at 13,128. And let's go ahead and see what Asia did. Asia, Nikkei was positive. Europe, they were all happy over there. But, I mean, just barely. There wasn't anything over a half a percent. And most of it was under a quarter percent. So not a lot of big moves. 10-year yield was weaker with the stronger dollar, 2.799. And let's take a peek at natural gas was higher. That was up. That was up about 1.25%, 8.876. So the Brent got hit today, also down about 3%. And again, we saw the dollar gain, and a little hit. Here's an interesting tidbit here: New York manufacturing. Now, this is a gauge of New York State manufacturing activity. It plunged by the second most in data back to 2001, with sharp declines in orders and shipments that indicate an abrupt downturn in demand. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York August General Business Conditions Index slumped more than 42 points. That's huge. 42 points to minus 31.3. Now, that is with just behind the drop that was seen in April of 2020, report showed today. A reading below zero indicates contraction. We're minus 31. So the figure was certainly far more weaker than some of the most downbeat forecasts. The share of state factories reporting weaker business conditions nearly doubled in August to 43.6% from a month earlier, and similar deteriorations were evident for orders and the shipments. Now, this is the first of several regional Fed bank manufacturing numbers that are set to be released over these next coming weeks. These figures can be volatile, and but the magnitude of the slowdown is still alarming, and could portend a steeper downturn in manufacturing than what everybody previously has thought. So, again, that's not a good sign to be had. The U.S. housing home builder sentiment, U.S. single-family homeowners' confidence in New York State factory, that fell The National Association of Home Builders fell 6 points to 49 this month. So it's below the 50 number. That indicates that more builders view conditions as poor than good. So not a good sign there. So, but hey, CNBC said home builders say U.S. is in a housing recession. As we continue to see, as I just mentioned, the sentiment is turning negative. There was another with the recent slowdown in inflation. The Federal Reserve is faced with a conundrum about what to do with its shrinking, its massive $8.9 trillion. So these are all problems that are facing us, is the point to all of this. And so a good thing that the oil dropped. It's a good thing that gasoline prices are dropping. People are cheering because demand is dropping, lowering the price. But because that's also being lowered, so is everything else, Butch.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, the economy is dropping. The demand is weak. So that's what's pushing those prices down. Part of it, anyway. So that's just some of the headlines in the economic news today, Butch.
You know, there's, gas prices have come down quite a bit in some places. And the difference in gas price in our local area, I mean, you can drive 15 miles and save 25 cents on a gallon, $3.99 to $4.24, depends where you are. I don't understand that disparity in gas prices, but that's the way it is. The prices are coming down. But I do talk to, I hate going to the store because in groceries, I haven't seen a downturn in price on groceries yet. It may be coming, but from the stores you got today, I don't think so. Groceries are still not coming down in price because the harvest is not coming like it should all over the world, not just here. We're going to discuss a bit that we're going to see the price of potatoes going up because of the Idaho situation. We're going to see the price of tomatoes product going up because of a problem in California. Now, this isn't trying to be negative. It's just facing the facts. Thank God gas prices come down. That's all wonderful. But other things are coming down. We're going to discuss that our rent is not coming down. So you gain a few cents on a gallon of gas and lose more on rent or other items that you need. So I don't know, Melody. And it's a mixed bag, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely, it is. You know, and it was funny when we did have the higher oil prices, all we ever heard was about the oil companies, Exxon and all of those and so forth. Well, how about the Saudis? Nobody ever mentioned them. Nobody ever mentioned about their energy company, Aramco. Said Sunday its profits jumped 90% in the second quarter. Maybe they were the ones to really be blamed for it. You know, it wasn't the Putin war. But, and again, they got a huge refinery here in the U.S. So, but yes, they all made a big profit, but, you know, so did those Saudis. And, so anyway.
Well, that should make you question the fact that who's getting ripped off here. I mean, they made the profit. Maybe their costs went up, but they still increased the profit by 9%. That means that they really sucked it to the consumer. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the refineries, their refineries had an increase in profit overall of 626% increase in profits this last year. Now, maybe their prices did go up for production, but the increase of profits over 600%, somebody getting slammed here. Somebody getting slammed. I can understand passing on their cost to us. I can see that they would pass the cost on to keep the profits even. But an increase of 9% for Saudis and 626% for refineries in this country, isn't that a bit much, Melody?
Yeah, but the sad thing about it is Biden went to the Saudis to ask for them to increase their production.
Right.
But they couldn't go to the U.S. companies. He had to go to the Saudis. So, anyway.
It is amazing. It really is. But for those, you know, you read all kinds of headlines, and all this stuff's come together piece by piece, and you see it all kind of like a puzzle coming, making sense again, and you sit back and wonder how they keep maneuvering us in this direction. I mean, this step by step, inch by inch, they maneuver us further and further into their under control. Now, we all know who Klaus Schwab is. We know who the World Economic Forum is. Well, one of his head advisors named Yuval Noah Harari. This is what he said. World Economic Forum advisor claims the planet no longer needs the vast majority of the population. As a potential remedy to economically obsolete people. I like that word, Melody, obsolete. Yuval Noah Harari proposed government redistribution of wealth, not just nationally, but globally. Now, folks, this is part of the plan of population reduction. We know it's in the Bible. We know it's coming. It's been talked about for years, years and years. The World Economic Forum advisor Yuval Noah Harari recently declared that the world does not need the vast majority of the current population due to technological advances. Harari made the bold declaration in an interview with Chris Anderson, head of the popular TED media, echoing past predictions of a useless class of unemployable humans. Now, folks, let me repeat that. Now, this guy, by the way, is a homosexual. He's a pervert. But he said he's echoing the past predictions of a useless class of people. How does it feel, Melody, to be considered a useless individual?
Amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it? I mean, because right, they come.
Well,
right,
not amazing, and not amazing as it's good.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand, but they had the gall to say this. But who pays attention to it? The masses don't. Harari suggested that the departure from the 20th century, when the big heroes of political systems prevailing narratives were always the common people. Now, in the 21st century, people are no longer part of the story of the culture of the future. Repeat that. People are no longer part of the story of the future. Instead, according to Harari, they have been replaced by artificial intelligence and displaced by high-tech economy. The author and lecturer presented to Anderson the hypothesis that anxiety about being displaced in a future economy by AI and a highly educated tech class is partly at the root of the world's disillusionment and the backlash against the liberal order. Part of what might be going on is people realize, and they're correct in thinking that, the future doesn't need me. Wow. Maybe if they are nice, they will throw some crumb my way, like universal basic income. But it's much worse psychologically to feel that you're useless than to feel that you are exploited, Harari said. Now, fast forward to the 21st century when we just don't need the vast majority of the population, Harari continued, because the future is about developing more and more sophisticated technology like artificial intelligence and bioengineering. Notice that bioengineering, folks. They're going to make you better than human. They did that back in the old Bible, by the way, when the fallen angels had intercourse with the women. They brought forth giants. They brought forth bioengineering. It's going to be this way again, maybe a different method. Harari added that these technologies increasingly will make redundant, and repeat that again. Harari added that these technologies will increasingly make redundant whatever people are still doing, which is useful, and will thus make it possible to replace the people. Now you're redundant. No, you're useless. You're redundant. While he conceded to Anderson that technologies such as AI will open up a new and more interesting jobs, Harari argued that it's not clear that many humans will be able to do them because they will require high skills and a lot of education. Well, Melody, that's pretty much put it right on line, isn't it?
It certainly is.
I mean, we're useless. We're redundant. We're not needed. And, you know, so, I mean, gee whiz. Well, I mean,
what are they going to do with us all? We're hitting that big billion peak.
8 billion. Yeah, 8 billion here. So, yep. I don't know how they're going to thin it out, but they're going to thin us out. I have no idea how. They didn't get into that right here. But I thought they're getting so bold that when Klaus Schwab says by 2030, 7 years from now, you're going to own nothing and be happy. And one of his assistants says, and you'll be redundant, unneeded, so we just won't need you anymore. We'll just phase you out. Gosh. Is that not treating people like cattle, collateral? Same thing,
well,
right?
It's funny with this inflation fighter that they just signed, that they just pushed through and so forth. There's a part in there where, you know, they're going to allow supposedly Medicare K to, you know, work with the pharmaceutical to negotiate lower prices, and it's always for the seniors, you know. And it's like, no. That's rationed health care. That's just more of rationing of the health care.
That's very true.
Because what's going to happen is these insurance companies and whoever said they're just going to eliminate it. They're going to make it more expensive. This you'll qualify. This you don't. So who gets to make all those choices for you? Not you. So again, that is a way of culling the population. They've been doing it for a long time. But now, I mean, it's just, you know, you got your tax dollars that are going to be, you know, paying for it, but I guess it always has anyway. But it's just, we pay for our own destruction.
And we have been for a lot of years.
We pay for our own elimination.
Yes.
And we do it. It's like, doesn't anybody get it? Anyway.
Well, when there's too many people and we overload the system, they have to call out the useless ones. I mean, they can't.
Sure, and it's going to be anybody over probably, what, 60, 65?
If that old.
Well,
that show out many years ago, back in probably the 70s, where anybody, I think it was over 40, they put in the death. I can't remember the name of it. It was a movie. And they brought them out. They, when they got over 40 years old, they put them to death. I can't remember the show. And I thought, you know, what nonsense. You know, that's never going to happen. Maybe not a 40 quite yet, but it will happen at a certain age. Maybe when you get to the point that you can no longer work and produce, maybe you want to retire and you're 65 years old or whatever, then they can phase you out because you lost your production. You're no longer good for anything except a consumer. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, yeah, we're useless eaters. So if you can't provide for, you know, if you can't do anything, if you're done and you're old and you're weak. I mean, that's why they don't do anything in these nursing homes.
That's true. That's very true.
Look at these nursing homes. Look how pathetic so many of them are. And the good ones you can't afford. The majority, what? You know, people can't afford it. And there's no requirements, there's no accountability in these nursing homes. It's really sad.
It is sad. It is sad. And with the COVID nonsense.
And the thing is, you get these older people going into these nursing homes, and then you get the younger people, and it's like, well, you know, she's got this much money left. I want some of it, so.
Sure, yeah, of course. And during the COVID nonsense, you couldn't get in and see them. You didn't know whether to kill them or not. You couldn't get in and see them.
Couldn't get in to see them. There was
they died alone.
They didn't have an advocate.
No, they didn't. That's the point.
Yeah.
And it's break time already.
It is. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, Butch.
All right. Folks, we keep saying this, and you keep saying gold prices are going to go up, and gold price, but I have to remind them, I can remind myself, Melody, because I look at these things too, and I do think about this. I have to remind myself how much gold went up since I got married in 1971. From $35 an ounce to almost $1,800 an ounce right now or more. How much has that increased over the last 50 years? How much we're going to get on increase as time goes on, the dollar becomes worthless, more and more worthless, and it's going to. But I don't know the date, I don't set dates. But I did believe the dollar one day, it's going to go pretty quickly, Melody. I mean, when they do weight the dollar as the world currency, and other things step in to make a difference, when a dollar starts going down, it's going to drop like a rock. I do believe that. And that's when we're going to see gold in our area skyrocket. I told the story many times, but I paid my home off several years ago with silver that I bought off you over a period of time, and I bought a few coins here and there where I could from the different places, but I bought most of it from you, and I paid off the house and the property 17 years early. Now, Melody, how much money did I save in interest alone?
A lot.
And when I bought them the first time, they were $3 a piece. When I sold them, they were less than $13 a piece, but I had enough to pay off the house. Now they're, what, 20-some bucks a piece, right?
Yes.
So, folks, think about that. By the grace of God, I listened to wise counsel, and Bob Chapman was one of them. And I started trying to do these things over a period of time, buying what I could when I could. And it felt so good to cash those in. The bank wouldn't take them. The bank doesn't recognize gold and silver as money. But I sold them back to Melody, took the money in, and paid off the home. That I felt like I went to bed in a brand new house that night. Now, that's a fact. So think about these things for the future. If you start listening to the program, you wonder about this. I started buying silver dollars back in the 1990s. I paid the house off that much earlier over a period of years. So think about these things. Now, of all the things to think about, potato shortage emergence in Idaho as prices surge at supermarkets. That's why I said, folks, prices at store, food is not going down. The next food insecurity problem that may impact the way Americans eat could be an emerging potato shortage that began last year when yields were depressed due to a heat wave, according to the Bowes County State Public Radio. I'm not sure if you remember last June, but we had some just unbelievably hot temperatures here in Idaho. It did a number on a potato crop. Jamie Higham, president and CEO of the Idaho Potato Commission, told the Idaho-based media outlet. And so our yields were significantly down last year. Boise State Public Radio pointed out that last year's potato crop cycle should last through August, though the lack of the starchy vegetable has already presented consumers with higher prices at the supermarket. There is not a gap. There are just less potatoes being shipped right now than there were normally at this time of the year because of short supply that we started in the season with, said Higham. He said Idaho produced the most potatoes in the country last year, and what happens to crop yields in the state will influence prices across country. I remember when I was in school reading about Ireland and supposedly why they all migrated to America, because of the great potato famine. You remember about that when you were in school?
A little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we laugh about that, about potato. I mean, everybody takes potatoes. I mean, well, potatoes. I mean, that's a cheap meal. I mean, you can bake a potato, you can fry a potato, you can mash potato. Potatoes are, you know, pretty good, stable to diet for many years, and they had been in mine most of my life. So you take it for granted. You don't really think about running out of potatoes, do you?
You don't.
You know? But now Idaho makes more potatoes than any other state in the country, and you have to wonder what this going to mean in prices. And I know, folks, I know this sounds so silly, but that's one more item to think about, potatoes. I mean, that's on everybody's table about every day. I watch them a little bit now. I've been called being a diabetic and try not to eat white potatoes. I eat sweet potatoes when I can. But think about what this can mean for the basic diet for most people that are used to eating potatoes with the meals. Everybody's heard the plain old meat and potato diet we all grew up on. Well, that's that can make a difference in the very near future. Now, this another one I'm looking at and laughing and thinking, this can be that serious. Well, I don't know. Spaghetti sauce is under threat as water crisis slams tomatoes. Again, another staple, another thing that we all have used, and we eat tomatoes sliced. When I love them fresh tomatoes right out of the garden, I'm getting it right now. I love fresh tomatoes. You can make sauce out of them, put them in spaghetti or anything you want to do with tomatoes. We take it for granted. California leads the world in production of processing tomatoes, the variety that gets canned and used in commercial kitchens to make some of the most popular foods. The problem is the worst drought in 1,200 years is forcing farmers to grapple with a water crisis that's undermining the crop, threatening to further push up prices from salsa to spaghetti sauce. And I didn't realize the worst drought in 1,200 years. And I just got curiosity, how they know that, by the way? Who kept records 1,200 years ago? But anyway, we desperately need rain, Mike Monta. Manda, head of the California Tomato Growers Association, said in an interview, "We're getting to a point where we don't have inventory left to keep fulfilling the market demand. Lack of water, shrinking production in the region is responsible for a quarter of the world's output." Now think about that, folks. 25% of the tomatoes grown in California, which is having an impact on prices of tomato-based products. Gains in tomato sauce and ketchup are outpacing the rise in U.S. food inflation, which is at the highest in 43 years, with drought and higher agriculture inputs to blame. With California climate change forecast calling for hotter and drier conditions, outlook for farmers is uncertain. "It's real tough to grow a tomato crop right now," Monta said. "On one side, you have the drought impacting costs because you don't have enough water to grow all your acres. And then you have the farm inflation side of a fuel and fertilizer costs shooting up." California governor is also starting to restrict water, folks, even to the farmers. California restrictions limiting water, groundwater use, and soaring costs for labor, fuel, and fertilizer have caused headaches for producers such as Wolf Farming. It costs the Fresno County-based grower and processor around $4,800 an acre to grow and harvest a tomato crop these days, compared to $2,800 a decade ago, according to Rick Blankenship, vice president of farming operations. "Most of the increases have been in the last 2 years. This season's bounty costs more than and delivers less." So it's almost doubled in just the price of planting an acre of tomatoes. So, yeah, folks, you'll feel that in the store. You'll see that in the store. They have no choice. They had no choice. But when you compare that, farmers struggling to make it, to refineries increasing their profits by over 600%, Saudi Arabia increasing profits over about 90%, you see farmers are just trying to hang in there to grow food. It makes you wonder about the uneven playing ground that we're all on, doesn't it, Billy?
It does. Although I did get a text in, though, from, remember our good friend Rob from Idaho?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
He said he would save us some potatoes.
All right. Ship mine to us, Rob. Shipping's really cheap now. Bless his heart.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, I mean, what can I say? I mean, Rob's a good guy. Rent is becoming a crisis in the U.S. also. You said the housing market is not doing well. Well, they're not building houses. Where are people going to live, Melody? What are they going to do? The real crisis, now I figured this maybe would turn around whenever they started lifting restrictions on COVID. Maybe this would turn around and more, the rent prices could come down, the housing prices might come down, but it's just been the opposite. The growing real crisis in the U.S. is showing no signs of stopping. And on top of all that, folks, people's earnings are being cut. Big time. No. They're not making the same amount of money they did last year. It just doesn't go as far. That's why they can't afford it. That was the topic of the new Bloomberg report this week that highlighted the stories of numerous Americans struggling to meet their rental obligations. The cost of rent in the U.S. is moving higher at the highest pace in three decades, the report notes, blowing past a median $2,000 per month for the first time ever. The median price is over $2,000 a month penalty for rent.
Wow.
Rents are now above where they were prior to the pandemic in most major cities. Areas just outside cities, which saw a large influx of new renters during the pandemic, have seen their rents rise disproportionately higher. People returning to large cities post-pandemic have also had not helped prices cool off. Additionally, rising interest rates have now deterred some would-be builders or buyers who are now becoming renters. Tight inventory continues to lead to bidding wars, even in the rental market, the report says. So they're not buying houses. They can't afford to build a house, or they're trying to rent a place to live. Trying to keep a roof over their head was driving price of rent up. On top of the potatoes going up in price, tomatoes going up in price, gas come down a little bit. Good for that. But nothing else has cooled off yet.
Jeez. Well, I mean, gasoline, that was really the focus of everything, because that was in everybody's face, and everybody failed to look at some of these other things that were going up, you know. So, and they focus on the one thing that would most likely turn around faster, that would turn around sooner than everything else. So now we see gasoline falling prices and oil prices fall. Everybody thinks it's good. I mean, everybody thinks everything's okay again.
Yeah, that's because you said they see it every day on the marquees,
exactly,
and the gas stations, mm-hmm, but you don't see it in the stores. It's not happening in the stores yet. And you can cut back maybe some on driving, but cutting back on food gets a little tougher, especially if you have children to feed. Now, remember we discovered a while back that the Netherlands was the second largest food producer in the world, or third largest? I forgot which one was it.
I think it was the second.
Second largest. Next to the U.S., Netherlands produces more food for the world than anybody else. Netherlands is going to shut down 11,200 farms to meet climate goals. Melody, could this be part of a plot to make food scarcity for real? Could this be part of a conspiracy to make these things happen?
There is no such thing as a conspiracy.
No, this is all coincidence.
Coincidence.
Yes. That's like a flour mill burned down last week. That's all coincidence, folks. Don't get excited. It's all right. Because if you follow my reporting, you probably know about the protests happening in the Netherlands. Tens of thousands of farmers have taken to the streets to protest against new climate goals, which will force farmers to shut down their farms. They have set hay bales on fire on motorways and dumped manure and even blocked supermarket distribution centers. According to calculations done by the finance ministry, a whopping 11,200 livestock farmers will be forced to shut down by the government to reduce nitrogen emissions in order to meet European environmental rules. After 17,600 farmers would, another 17,600 farmers will need to reduce the amount of animals they keep to meet these climate goals. Folks, think about this shortage. Who can be able to buy a piece of steak besides Klaus Schwab? Oh, don't worry about it. You can buy a cricket steak made of cricket protein. Go for it. And this is bad because there are about 54,000 farms in the Netherlands, meaning that around one-fifth of all farms will be forced to shut down, and almost one-third of the farms forced to scale down and reduce livestock. Meaning that thousands of thousands of farmers will be losing their livelihoods in order to meet government climate goals. They're literally going to make people lose their livelihoods in order to meet climate goals. That is crazy. Not only that, think about all the food that will be lost as a result of this. We are already facing a food crisis due to sky-high fertilizer prices and grain shortages due to the war in Ukraine. Yeah, right. We need more food now, not less. The climate change fanatics are trying to bring us back to the Middle Ages. The state is planning on forcing farmers to sell their farms to the state, buying them out. state-sanctioned appropriation of farms and land. Now, where have I heard that kind of thing happening before? Oh, yes, under communism. I told you that this is the climate communism. I told you that this is climate communism and that the Great Reset is just another word for global communism. And that's exactly right on the money.
Yeah.
Right on the money. And folks, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is actually happening. Actually happens as we speak. I don't know what I'll have to add to that. There's nothing I can add to that. I mean, they're deliberately cutting back on the food supply for the world. And Americans, and I'm saying this very kindly, have been used to being gluttons, so to speak. They've always had more than they needed to eat. They've always had plenty of food. Even the poorest among us, most of us, have never missed a meal unless you wanted to, Melody. They haven't. They have plenty of food on the table. Sources, their supermarkets are full. They go and get what they want out of supermarkets. And now, I read this article. I didn't share it because I want more confirmation about it. But they were talking about the baby food shortages, that they're actually destroying the baby food when delivered to certain places. They're actually destroying it. Now, I'm not going to get into details yet. But the article said they're actually destroying the baby food when they bring it to the distributors. They're getting rid of it. I don't know whether that's true or not. I want to find out more about details. I'll let you know about that. But this is, and I wouldn't surprise me if it is. Not at all. What better way to scare people than get them feeling they can't afford food or can't find food? That would scare them right back the truck, wouldn't it? I mean, they'd get right back in the cage, wouldn't it?
It would.
You know, so, but don't worry. They'll give you a guaranteed income, universal income. It won't feed you, but it'll keep you content, maybe. And besides that, in 7 years, you're not going to own anything anyway. You'll be renting it back from the state. They'll feed you as long as you follow their rules. They'll see that you have something to eat and a place to sleep. But if you don't, just like a chicken, will take you out of the coop and butcher you. I mean, that's just the way it is. This is the World Economic Forum, or used to be called the New World Order, and the Bible is called the Beast System. This is happening in our day and time right now, and this is not a conspiracy. What I have shared with you are all facts, provable facts, not a conspiracy. Melody, go ahead. You have to go to break in 3 seconds. You go ahead.
Oh, well, gee, thank you.
You're welcome.
But and it's everywhere. And you know what? They're doing it in such a way that it's slow. People aren't going to take notice. But you know, you go to the grocery stores anymore, people are getting used to seeing empty shelves. People are getting used to having to wait. People are getting used to accepting what is happening instead of showing some sort of an outrage or demanding these grocery stores do something and whatnot. It's all conditioning, and that's what they're doing. They're conditioning people to accept what's coming. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, I saw a headline about spaghetti sauce. It's under threat, Butch.
That's what I just shared a minute ago. Yep.
Yep.
Lack of tomatoes.
Lack of tomatoes.
Again, things that we've always took for granted.
Yeah.
Never would dream that we could maybe have a shortage of potatoes. Of all the things. That's another reason why people maybe should think about trying to get a place to plant a little garden. And yes, maybe a community garden. Share four or five families, get together and get a plot of land. And maybe mm-hmm. somebody has a piece of property and they'll let you use it to plant a garden only if you share the crops with them. Isn't that a pretty good idea?
It is, you know, and a lot of your little cities and stuff like that, communities and so forth, you're beginning to see more and more of these little community gardens crop up, pop up, and so.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, those are things people need to talk about. Now, we're going to discuss some countries that are getting a little bit of turmoil involved in them, and we're going to talk about the U.S. first, because it's already happening here. I don't need to tell you this, folks, it's happening. Whether it's all made up or just like January 6th and what they made out of that last year. I mean, look what they made out of that. Look at the people still in jail. Some of them actually committed suicide because of this. I mean, this has been blown out of proportion, but it's still being used to control and frighten the people.
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse. Trump sent crypting message to Merrick Garland before a warrant was unsealed. The country is on fire. What can I do to reduce the heat? Trump went on to tell A.G. Garland that people around the U.S. were enraged by the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. The country's on fire, he said. What can I do to reduce the heat? Several people took to social media to interpret Trump's words as a veiled threat. I don't get that. What can I do to reduce the heat as a veiled threat? Do you get that, Melody?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't get that. But you see, when you fan the flames, if you just got a spark, it can become a big fire, can it? Fan the flames. Fan the passions. Mm-hmm. Fan the anger. Now, when I say anger, this is part of it. Armed Trump supporters protest outside FBI office in Phoenix following Mar-a-Lago raid. Armed Trump supporters. The protesters carried honor your oath and abolish FBI signs per local media. The FBI has had an unprecedented number of threats against Bureau property since the Mar-a-Lago raid. Now, I'm going to say this. This is only speculation. This also comes from Rob, by the way, Rob West, and to me, and I saw a couple other sources, that they could possibly arrest Trump. Trumped up charges. I didn't mean that'd be a joke, but trumped up charges or not, I don't know. But it would inflame the people even more. The spark could be inflamed even more. More unrest, more uncertainty. What better excuse to bring in foreign UN troops to police the people than those who go up in armed protest? I just met outside the Arizona FBI office with arms. What would it take to make it worse? Trump being arrested? Put in prison? I don't know. Police. Man killed himself after ramming U.S. Capitol barrier. A man drove his car into a barricade near the U.S. Capitol on early Sunday and then began firing gunshots in the air before finishing himself, according to police, who said he did not seem to be targeting any member of Congress. The incident happened just before 4 a.m. at a vehicle barricade at the East Capitol Street Northeast and 2nd Street Southeast in Washington. It comes at a time when the law enforcement authorities across the country are facing an increasing number of threats. Now, repeat that, folks. It comes at a time when law enforcement authorities across the country are facing an increasing number of threats, and federal officials have warned about the potential of violent attacks on government buildings in the day since FBI search of President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. There you go. They're increasing threats. They're taking it seriously, I suppose, and I guess they should. This is unrest in the country, folks, that's growing more and more towards the idea, God forbid, another civil war. But people are getting angry. And I can't say they aren't justified in many areas, but folks, we have to, before you react, you need to think. You need to think it through, pray it through. We need to respond, not react. There's a difference. Reaction sometimes can be necessary in the spur of the moment when you don't have about a second to make a decision. But when you have time to think it through, you may want to reason it through before you make any drastic decisions. Now, we know Pelosi went to China, bless her little pea-picking heart, went over there and took her son with her so his profit and business could grow, and it did. Grew 30% overnight, actually. But now we have another delegation went over there. I mean, Pelosi went, nothing drastic happened. So more going. Beijing starts more live fire drills around Taiwan to protest Democratic Senator Markey's visit. Are they wanting to pick a fight? Is that the idea? The excessive carbon dioxide emissions from the Pelosi delegation visit is still fresh in that Taiwan air, and already China military warned that it is holding fresh patrols around Taiwan to fight back, that's their words, against another U.S. congressional visit less than 2 weeks after the House Speaker's controversial trip to Taipei. The PLA started live drills around Taiwan on Monday, the SCMP reported, as the island's president received the first U.S. Congress delegation since a visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi drew unprecedented military pressure from Beijing 2 weeks ago. This is a resolute counterstrike and solemn deterrence to the consecutive provocations by the U.S. and Taiwan that undermine peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait, Wu Qin, a spokesman for China's defense ministry, said. He added that the visit led by Democratic Senator Ed Markey sent the wrong signals to pro-independence forces in Taiwan. Taiwan's Ministry of National Defense said Monday that it detected 30 Chinese military planes and 5 warships around Taiwan's surrounding region. According to Bloomberg, unlike earlier this month when China conducted a live fire exercises and likely fired missiles, ballistic missiles over Taiwan's main island, Beijing didn't immediately specify exclusion areas for commercial planes or ships to avoid. Chinese naval vessels and warplanes have regularly breached the U.S. drawn medium line that divides Taiwan Strait since Pelosi's arrival on August 2nd. And Beijing Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Wenbin said Beijing has repeatedly warned against the trip, which breached the One China principle and the 3 joint communiques signed by Washington. Wang also said that the visit blatantly violates the country's One China understanding with the U.S. was a violation of the sovereignty and territorial integrity of China, and cross-strait reunification was a historic trend that could not be changed. China will take resolute and strong measures to defend its national sovereignty and territorial integrity, Wang said. The handful of U.S. politicians who have been colluding with Taiwan independent separatist forces attempting to change the One China principle, they are overestimating themselves and are doomed to fail. Another part of the world, folks, catching heat. Comments, Melody?
None.
Mexican National Guard deployed to Tijuana amid eruption of cartel-fueled violence. And before going further, I'll say that Dr. Rodriguez is a BioCare hospital is in Tijuana. I've been there myself twice. Dr. Rodriguez is a personal friend of mine. So some people that work in the office there. One of his secretaries there, a really sweet lady. I talked to her a little earlier today, asked her what happened. Is everybody all right? She said, yeah, everything's fine. It's calmed down now. But it did happen. This is what I'm going to report did happen. And one of her neighbors asked her, are you going to work today? And she said, I'm going to go to work. So there's some caution, folks, about this because the unrest is spreading all over the world. Now it's in Mexico. just across the border from San Diego. Now, what that's going to mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about what's going to mean, what's going to come out of this in Mexico, but it's increasing around the world. People are getting angry by different things and different reasons. So, as I spoke to Dr. Rodriguez off today, and I just know this actually happened, so this is a verified account. From the border of the city of Tijuana to Cabo San Lucas, there's an increased presence of National Guard troops in the Mexican states of Baja California and Baja California Sur following the eruption of cartel violence over the weekend. Though I didn't know this, but Baja means south in Mexican, so it's Southern California. At least 350 National Guard troops were emergency deployed to the region on Saturday as cartels hijacked and burned vehicles and left the border city of Tijuana in utter chaos. Last Friday night, the U.S. consulate in Tijuana advised all American government employees to shelter in place until further notice due to this escalating violence. At one point over the weekend, the busiest U.S. border crossing was blocked by torched vehicles, and folks, that border crossing is packed. Tijuana, Mexico people told us to shelter in place due to violence on the street and burning of vehicles. Fox News noted that the Jalisco New Generation cartel threatened violence to anyone in Baja California over the weekend. Be warned, as of Friday 10 p.m. through Sunday 3 a.m., we're going to create mass chaos so the expletive government frees our people. We're the Jalisco New Generation cartel. We don't want to hurt good people, but it's best they don't go outside. We're going to attack anyone we see on the streets on these days. Tijuana Mayor Montserrat Caballero immediately responded to cartel messages and said, "We're not going to allow a single Tijuana citizen to pay the consequences of those who didn't pay their bills. We ask that you make the people who owe you pay up, not the families and citizens who work." The mayor said the problem is serious and about 3,000 federal troops attempted to keep the peace in northern state. She added that no one was seriously injured as cartels tried to create as much chaos as possible. The question remains if Baja California has to return to normal after the weekend of cartel violence or if it will just persist through the weekend. Well, as far as I know right now, pretty much from what I would talk to in-person witnesses, it pretty much went back to quiet. Comments, Melody?
No, I mean, you know, Mexico is a very violent state, country.
It is.
And it is. You know, it is run by the cartel, and everybody knows it, and everybody accepts it. So that's, we're funneling in millions of them.
Oh, you are. We certainly are. Yep. German officials warn of draconian energy regulations, extremists fueling mass protests and riots. Germany, folks, is going up in flames, so to speak. As queries for firewood have exploded on Google in Germany, and Deutsche Bank is predicting that wood will be used for heating purposes where possible, German officials are now warning of extreme energy rationing measures, along with potential for extremists to fuel national unrest over the deteriorating situation. Restorative German Economy Minister and Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck, who previously called on residents to cut back on heating, visits to the sauna and showers, announced on Friday that public buildings across the city, this country won't be allowed to set heating above 66.2 degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty cool. This fall, exceptions will be made for hospitals and local facilities. But it goes on to say that German families will need to cut 20% of their normal energy consumption in order to avoid natural gas shortages by December. And people have warned that legitimate protesters over the energy crisis could be hijacked by extremists. So Germany is having a hard time now with their situation. They cut off the supply. They sanctioned Russia. Now Russia, I guess, more or less sanctioned them, folks. You don't bite the hand that feeds you unless you want to go hungry. It's just the way it is. So be careful. Keep your eyes on this, because Germany could go up in flames, so to speak, also. And I know that that's a different part of the world. Yes, it is. But the world no longer a separate entity. We're linked. Italy elections. Salvini Party MP hospitalized after migrant threw rock. Those who threw the rock, a migrant. Italian member of parliament from populist Matteo Salvini's League Party was hospitalized this week after a migrant threw missiles they call them missiles, and moving vehicles along a major Italian motorway. League MP Claudia Cabado was injured and taken to the hospital after the migrant, a 22-year-old Egyptian national, allegedly threw an object at her vehicle, smashing the windscreen and causing glass to hit her in the eye, and she was traveling with her family for the summer holidays. The incident took place on Friday morning around 9:30 a.m. on Italy's important and busy A1 motorway known as the Autostrada del Sole between Lodi and, I can't say that's word, but two men aged 22 and 65 were also injured as a result of Egyptian throwing objects at vehicles. The Egyptian migrant is said to have been taking a high-speed train where he pulled the emergency brake and got off. Then made his way to the busy motorway where he started throwing his various projectiles, including throwing a stone at a train, forcing it to stop, causing delays on a mile along the line. When police arrived on the scene, the 20-year-old threatened to kill himself with a sharp object, but was subdued by officers using a taser. In total, at least 20 vehicles were impacted by the migrant's actions. Wow. He pulled the cord on the train, Melody, emergency cord, stopped the train, got off, started throwing rocks at him.
Well,
I would say the world's in unrest, wouldn't you?
I would tend to agree with that.
It's not just here, people. It's everywhere. One more quick thing. Afghan refugees who were left Afghanistan after we pulled out of there, 21,000 left the country, they live in I'm trying to find where they're at right now, in England, and they found them free homes in Scotland and Wales. They said, we're not going. It's too cold there. Taxpayers are paying to keep them, but we're not going there. It's too cold for us.
Golly. Well, kind of like, yeah, they get to choose where they want to go here, you know.
I mean, this is the world today. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is actually happening. We're glad you're paying for our homes, but we're not going there. It's cold. You guys send us down to maybe the south of Spain where it's warm.
All right, I'll go to the south of Spain. Anyway, we're out of time, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, good night, and be safe, and God bless.